Welcome to this podcast message from Kingdom Faith.
And it's a real privilege to kind of just stand in front of God and in front of you this morning. And I have no idea what kind of week you've had. All I know is I look forward to Sundays. Okay. I look forward to Sundays because it's our opportunity to come under this gateway. When we were looking at that last week, that the church is like a gate. And how many of you have used a gate? How many of you that know if you see a gateway and stand in it, you become a gate, not an access point? Excellent. So we were looking. Oh, no, it's really profound, isn't it? So what I mean by that is a gate is not for observing. A gate is for function. I'm going to make a note of that because that could be the first time you got it first. That's brilliant. That's awesome. Richard's in the Bible school. He's done a year and he's finally got it. Thank you, Jesus. Is it the height? Is it because you're so high up? But a gate can be very decorative. It can be very strategic. Sometimes it can be very hard to find. Sometimes it can be very easy to find. But a gate has a function, and that is to move us from one place to another place. Just explain it. Richard, can you explain that? I haven't got it. So without a gate, we would still be running around our front bedroom somewhere. Without a gate, we would still be running around our home somewhere. Without a gate, we would have walked and not come in a car, because a door is like a gate, isn't it? You still with me here? Just followed the train of thought here. So actually, a gate is really important, but it is functional, not just positional. In other words, a gate gives us access to more. A gate gives us opportunity to go where we know we need to be. A gate gives us a new horizon beyond the one that we're living in right now. Do you understand that? And what we're looking at last week, as we were looking at the Bible, is that God has said the church is like a gate. But it's not a gate as a monument. It's actually a movement kind of gate. So this Sunday is going to be totally different from last Sunday, not because it's a different day of the week, but because we want to go through new gates and have new experiences and encounters of God. How many of you know that God is the only God who is alive today? Every other faith is following a God who died many years ago, and you can find their tomb somewhere, you can find their grave somewhere, or you can find a stick somewhere that represents their God, but Jesus is alive. Jesus is the gate, the Bible says. He said, I am the gate. And I just love it that today, as a Christian, I can pass through the gate of nominal into the gate of extraordinary, because that's what's open for me. I just love it that I can move from the gate of just the mundane into the gate of God's best, because he's opened the gate. You can move from the gate of ordinary into the gate of extraordinary, because that's the gate that God has given to you. But he doesn't go, you know, get through that gate. What he does is he stands either in it or just the other side and says, come on, come here, come this side, come towards me, come where I am, because there is much more that I want to do in you and through you, this side of the gate than that side of the gate. Is that okay? Otherwise, we'd be outside in the car park singing songs to Jesus, having a great time, and everybody coming to keep fit would think, what are they doing? Maybe we're getting shaped and give us a few star jumps or exercises. So it kind of looks cool. So it kind of looks all right. Go and lie down. So it kind of looks as if we know what we're doing. But the gate that the church is a gate between God's heaven and God's earth. I love it. I love it that this morning, at whatever city o'clock it was when I woke up and suddenly there was a gate in front of me, and Jesus said, come on then. He didn't say, what are you doing there? And the spirit of duvet was being dominant in my life. Do you know what that can look like? Colin, you know what I mean, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely.
Exactly. Even their dog comes under the spirit of duvet sometimes. I've seen it. Harvey. But there is a spirit of duvet that wants to keep us cozy. Or the spirit of, you know, Winnie the Pooh pillow, whatever it is that you have. I suppose it's Iron Man, is it? Halo. What is it? What is it? What kind of pillowcase have you got, Sally? I asked totally the wrong person then. Maybe it's got arson on it, in which case you want to get up really quick. What a little pony? My little pony. Is that yours? But do you understand what I'm saying? The world wants to keep us comfy, wants to keep us warm, wants to keep us safe in that sense, wants to keep us cosseted. And there's nothing wrong with that if you want to be asleep for all of your life or just drowsy. And how many of you know that in the last 48 hours since the election, this nation's woken up? What a surprise. Who would have thought it? Bonjour. Bonjour. Ça va? That's it. Finished now. So, as a church, those of you that are at the Impact Prayer Meeting or the Victory in Prayer that we had a few weeks ago, we had to come through the gate of who is going to be in charge of our nation. And we could have looked at it and thought, we'll just vote and see what God does. Or we can say, God, what do you want to do? And then vote. And as a church, we decided, okay, God, what do you want us to do? And then that's what we did. And who realized that in the last 48 hours, the political world has gone into another gate? Who would have thought that three political leaders would all... Who would have thought so? So you would have done, because you're just a smart man. But I mean, who would have thought it? There you go. That's what I'm saying. So we're not in, as society, we're not in the normal pattern politically. And what I think God wants to encourage us with today is that there are gates that God wants us to pass through. And when we come through these, certain things happen that side that never happen this side. But early in the morning on Thursdays, I was just kind of praying. I was just in this gate of opportunity. Sometimes it's just literally an opportunity. You kind of just do what you normally do, and you hear a little whisper in your voice, and Jesus says, just take some time out with me. I want to tell you something, or I just want to be with you. And I call that the gate of opportunity. That can happen any hour of any day. Doesn't mean that you stop doing what you're doing. It's just that we bring what we're doing into the gate of opportunity, and suddenly Jesus is there. Do you understand that? And that's kind of exciting. So I was kind of doing what I was doing. I just had a mentoring time with Josh here, and he taught me a lot. Thanks, mate. It's a slow job, but somebody has to do it. And I received this from the Lord, and it says this, Worthing. So I received this Thursday morning. Worthing, you have been set aside for his purpose, assigned for his destiny, kept for his glory, and positioned to be a place of breakthrough. Now, how many of you are part of Kingdom Faith in Worthing? Now, you may not be part of the family yet, and maybe you just come and check us out and see how weird we are. We can be as weird as you want. How weird do you want to be? Because in my view, most of us live, if we know Jesus, we live at a very subnormal level. And when the normal comes, we think it's abnormal and we push it away. Well, a normal level is his kingdom here on earth as it is in heaven. The normal is all things are possible for those who believe. The normal is you shall do even greater things than I have. That's normal. Do you understand that? So when we see things normal, it offends our subnormal and we think it's abnormal. Yeah, you need to listen to the tape. I think that was right. But as we kind of live, God is saying to us, no, I have set you aside. God has positioned us at this time, in this place, in this opportunity to say, come through this gate of opportunity because I'm about to fulfill Psalm 24. Psalm 24 says this, the earth is the Lord's and everything is in it, the world and all who live in it. For he founded it on the seas, established it on the waters. Who may ascend the mountain of the Lord? Question. What a great question. Have you asked that question? Do you want to know how to get higher in the things of God? Maybe you're just stood at the bottom saying, is there a God? Well, let me tell you, there is. He's alive and he thinks you're brilliant. He thinks you're awesome. He has a place in his heart for you and he has hands on your head to bless you with. There are things only you can do in God. But you've got to come through the gate. You've got to come through it. It doesn't happen this side. It goes on and says this, who may ascend the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? God doesn't change his nature when he comes through the gate. He increases how we see his nature when we come through the gate. There are certain things that I could do when I first gave my life to Jesus back in 1986 because I was just stupid and I didn't know anything. And the more and more and more and more I found that God is real, the less and less and less and less I know about myself. And the less important it is. All I want to know is Christ. Because I've figured out that all of my knowledge, and I've got this and I've got that, and it doesn't add up to anything through the door of opportunity when God's the other side. I don't even know that God calls the foolish people. He calls the weak. He calls the poor to confound the wise. So there's a door that we go through and become smart people. Who may stand in his holy place? The one who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not trust in an idol or swear by a false god or swear. They will receive blessing from the Lord and vindication from God their Saviour. Such is the generation of those who seek him. Is anybody looking for something this morning? Even if you turned up looking at what are these weird people in the theatre doing, you were looking for something and you found us. Woohoo! Maybe you were looking for healing from your disease. Maybe you're looking for hope for your broken heart. Maybe you're just looking for some pain to leave your body. Maybe you were just looking for some mates because you don't think you've got any. Maybe you're just looking for a future because you think it's run out. All I'm saying is those who seek me, find me. Doesn't matter how we've arrived. What matters is who do we find when we come through this gate of opportunity? Because let me tell you this, Jesus will meet your expectation and some. He will meet our faith, our confidence, and some. Because that's the kind of God he is. Such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face, God of Jacob. Lift up your heads, you gates. Be lifted up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory, I hear you ask? Richard, you were slow then. Who is this King of glory, I hear you ask? It's not the person sat next to you. It's not your headaches, your migraines, your consistent nightmares. It's not that pain that just doesn't go away. It's not that sense of what is going on in my world. It is not that. That's stuff that happens around the world. But that is not the King of Glory. King of Glory is strong and is mighty. The Lord is mighty to battle for us. The Bible says that the battle belongs to the Lord, isn't it? Lift up, you heads, you gates. Lift them up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King? The Lord Almighty. He is the King of glory. And as I was getting this phrase that we've been set aside, worthy, has been destined. This 2015 is a very key time for you. The reason why you're here is just to hear this. You might just be here, and it might be the only ever time you want to come. Oh, great, because you've taken the gate of opportunity. It was out then, you've come in, and God is saying this to you, and he's saying this to me. Is it you're here for such a time as this? You're a person of influence. God wants to increase who he is in us so that people get infected and affected by this terminal condition called life. It's great to have some of our younger guys with us because, man, these are going to be carrying this further and faster than all of us. Come on. Amen. Man, we need to get our young people infected with this thing called life. We need to get our adolescent people infected with this thing called hope. We need to get our young adults infected with this thing called I've got a destiny and God's going to help me meet it. We've got to get our 20s and 30s infected with this I'm here to change the world I'm living in. We've got to get our over 30s thinking, oh, my life is not over yet. Come on, we've got to get the over 60s to at least hear us for the first time. Hallelujah. We don't have a loop thing, sorry. I'll just shout a bit when I get excited. So that was Psalm 24, but what is God saying about the church in all of this? I think there are two key kind of words or phrases. The first one is this gate that we're in, particularly on Sundays in small groups, when we do open houses, this is still true, is that when we gather together, we are a dwelling place for God. God just loves to be with you. Even more than you probably do. Ask your friends, they'll tell you. If you can't find any, ask me and I'll tell you. This dwelling place is where the Shekinah, the fat portion of God, he wants to dwell there. For me, church and Sundays and every day, it's not just about let's have a great time with Jesus. It's about, no, I want to meet with God in such a way that I carry it into Monday. I come through the gate of Tuesday, into the victory of Wednesday, into the challenge of Thursday, but with a sense of I'm going to do it, into the excitement of Friday is just not the end of the week. The week are strong in God. Did you see what I did then? I got translated from English to Dutch and then laughed. That was amazing. Come on. So the dwelling place is where God wants to live. He wants to settle. He's happy for the fat portion of his nature and of his functionality to dwell. Not just the scrap end of God. Oh, God bless me. No. We live under God's blessing. Man, he wants to just press his blessing in. He wants it to be in the core of our being, in the core of your heart, in the core of your head, in the core of your eyes, in the core of your ears, in the core of our senses, is the blessing, the presence, the fat portion of God. That's what church is about. It's a group of people who come from everywhere, all kinds of backgrounds, and God just wants to press the fat portion of his nature into. Come on, Richard, mate, I'm glad you came. You and me, we'll have them. Do you know what the fat portion is? It's the best bit, the most succulent bit, the most tasty bit. It's got the fullness of God in it. And God just wants us this morning. Man, we want to touch and taste and see that God is good. Almost got that wrong. When I've finished, I'll give you your teeth back, Colin. Sorry. Psalm 91 says this. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide, live in, remain under the shadow. I love it. Do you know there's a whole load of shadows out in the world? Do you know that a shadow never killed anybody? Peter Pan had the trouble with this shadow. Remember that? Okay, it's too deep. Very good. A shadow didn't kill anybody. It could confuse a few. Ever know that shadows can appear bigger than the real thing? You've all done it, right? All of this stuff. And whatever you do, I don't know. But shadows are about enlarging what is not real. They're also about reflecting what is in the light. But a shadow never killed anybody. Doesn't it say just in another Psalm, Psalm 23, that even though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, shadow never killed anybody. You right now might be thinking the whole world is against me. Well, let me tell you someone who isn't. His name is Jesus. You might feel as if the whole of your life is pressing in against you, about to crush you. Well, let me tell you something who isn't. His name is Jesus. Because even though we walk through a valley, we don't fear because he is with us. That's the gate. Jesus is the get out of jail free gate. It's all too much for me, Jesus. Help me. I don't know what to do, Jesus. Help me. And it goes on in verse 9, because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. Let me tell you, there is no greater, there is no more dynamic, there is no more fat portion than making Jesus the house that we want to dwell in. That's why church is so key, because we are the house of the Lord, where God wants his fat, best portion to come and drip, run over. Infused like the tea. I you lost me. Where are you, Dan? You lost me when you mentioned tea. I don't drink tea. I'm really sorry. That was a great analogy. But when you mentioned tea, it's like, nah. The next word that I have, and this is going to be kind of an interesting one on the back of dwelling, is this word dominion. The mem sholah. Where God's fat portion is, God's greatest authority is. I have no idea what kind of authority you think you have or not. You know, some of these young people, they get told what to do by all kinds of people. Some of them it's right, some of them it might not be right. Some of their mates might turn up and do stuff. Some of that might be right, some of it may not be right. So there is a peer pressure authority. I want to be like them because if I'm not, I look weird. It can also be a social authority. I don't want to jut up too much because if I do, they're going to pick on me. There can be an educational authority. If I did an IQ test at about 2 o'clock this morning. I was wide awake. I thought, hello, I've got nothing else to do. And I got 144 on it. Is that good? What? I mean, for you it isn't, because you're smart. Is that good?
It sounds like you could get into Mensa.
Mensa, what's that? Oh. Anyway, don't answer that. No, sorry. Rewind that question, because I know when I ask you a question, I can sit down.
It's for people that are intelligent, but not necessarily wise.
Come on, then, if you're hard enough. This is coming on the tape, you know that. And thousands of people are going to listen to this, Colin Thompson. See close, see play, scoring. Got a dog called Harvey, and I know where you live. You're showing me up. And I don't mind. Somebody once told me, oh no, I won't say that. Yes, I will. A lady once told me, how did you find three wise men? Dominion is about authority and domain. And I think one of the challenges that God is bringing us into as Kingdom Faith, as church, is that God wants to put a gate in front of us where the other side of it, we don't just know that we can do all kinds of things because Christ helps us, but we actually do them. Because how many of you know that it doesn't matter how much knowledge we've got, wisdom is applied knowledge in an applied way. So we can have loads of knowledge about God and about Christianity and about the church, and actually God is less concerned about that than he is about which bits do we apply. Because wisdom is the applied knowledge in the right way. I know what wisdom is. Is that okay?
Amen.
Are we friends again? Brother. Now I'm his brother. First I was his enemy. I was a city person. Now I'm his brother. Colin, I love you. I know. We might even be friends by the time we finished. So dominion is about not just where God's nature, his fat portion is, but where God's greatest power can be expressed. We need to move in that power. I don't mean we need to know that we can, or even need to know that we should, or even recognize that we haven't, because all those things are excuses. They can sound like reasons, but actually they're excuses. We just need to get on with it. We just need to demonstrate God's here and he's powerful. And that's the gate of today, is in the church. The Bible says his power is going to be expressed. What is this power? It's God's presence. It's God's ability to do supernatural things in a very natural environment, but with a supernatural outcome. That's power. So this dominion, authority, domain, it governs. So let's just go back to this gate analogy. We're going to pray in a moment. I'm just going to chuck out some thinking, all right? You may not necessarily agree with it. That's fine. Disagree with it now, but pray about it when you get home. I'm just going to say this, a couple of things. As a Christian, as someone who understands a little bit about what my identity is as a Christian and what that authority comes in that, the challenge that I have is this one. The kind of climate, the spiritual atmosphere in my house is my responsibility. I allow into the gate of my life what I allow, and I don't allow what I don't want to allow. So there's a gate there, but I govern the gate. Over my children and my grandchildren, I have another gate of opportunity, or I can either go in there and use this God-given authority, or I don't. I just look at it. Have you got that? within our little community, we live kind of in the middle of nowhere. So we pray for sheep, but I shoot rabbits. That's the right way around. Is that we have authority about the climate and the atmosphere, the responsive, the reaction over our little community, because we represent God's gate there. So I can allow certain things in that gate, or I can say, actually, you're not coming in here. We don't want that kind of thing going on, because God's here. Have you got that? So I'm not just talking about now, when there's like 60% of us here together in this gate called Sunday. I'm talking about the gate that is over your life if you know Jesus. So I'm saying this. We have the kind of faith and the kind of expression of God's life and power that we want at this time, but we can move through the gate of greater. We have the kind of life and dynamic and relationships and kind of all the stuff that we know is out there. We're living in that partly because that's where we've rested. What I'm saying is there's a gate of opportunity. You go through it and more's there. The sense of God's presence, hearing his voice, seeing his power, doing the works of God that we were looking at the other day. Daniel 11:32, those who know their God are strong and will do great exploits. I think the challenge for today is, yeah, it's great that we're all thinking alike. It's great that we're devoted. Woohoo! But actually, some of that is we just live differently. We just live in the fat portion of God's identity, but with that power that God brings. So every day in your world, whatever it looks like, you're just aware God can do that. God can heal that person. And if you heal that person, God can change that crisis into a celebration. Do you understand what I'm saying there? This is what I think the gate of challenge is for us today as church. Because if we go back, if I can put my technology back on, if we go back to this thing that God's sitting me saying on Thursday, you have been set aside for his purpose. You have. Just look at the person next to you and say, you've been set aside for his purpose. Richard, just shout. If you can't find anybody, just shout. Tell me. Thank you. You've been assigned for his destiny. Tell them. Tell somebody. You've been kept for his glory. And you've been positioned for breakthrough. Now, just in these last few minutes, as I'm putting these strands together, we have to recognize that we might not feel like any of that. Well, I don't know what feeling like that feels like. So if any of you do feel like all of that, come and tell me. Because I have no idea what that feels like. All I know is that when I go through the gate that this word seems to be shaping, it becomes more than a feeling, it becomes a culture. Do you understand what I mean by that? Is I have no idea what this feels like. I know what it feels like to be on time, to be kind of, yeah, I know what I'm here for. But this is more than that. I know what it feels like to be kept. Not that I'm a kept man. Well, I am kept very well. But in terms of this tremendous sense of well-being and resourcing and just favor and provision, that's what this is talking about. I have a bit of an idea of what a breakthrough means, but hello, mate. Liddy is a blessing. But this church, like any other church, God wants to dwell in it. He wants to have dominion through it so that every fat part of God breaks into our now so that it can break out of our tomorrow. That we see the supernatural of God all the time. Because God is the same. So here's a thought before we pray. We recognize that God is talking about gates and gates to go through. How do we open the gate today? I think there's some words here that I would put in there. We want more of God. It's longing. We're confident that when we reach out for more of God, we will get more of God. That we're relentless. If it doesn't change today, it will tomorrow. If it doesn't change tomorrow, it will the next. There's relentlessness about it. Why? Because all these things are indicative of God's heart towards us. But more importantly than anything I found in my experience is I want to be different. It's passion. Now, most people would say British people are not passionate. So we've got a few Australians and a Kiwi and a Dutch person here. Sorry. And even French and German people can be passionate, I've heard. Why? Stop blowing me kisses. That's not good. Jordanian people are passionate. Who? Scottish people. SNP. Archive the New. SNP. I was going to say should know politics, but you don't spell it like that. It's a K, isn't it? How do we open the gate? As I said, how do we keep it open? By surrender, by sacrificially loving and living for others, and maintaining a passion to be different for God every day. This gate isn't about Sundays, it's about our lives. How do we usher in? How do we encourage the presence of God? We'll go back to the Psalms. By wanting to live a clean life. We touch stuff in the world, and the world is the world. And we're made to touch it, but not to be changed by it, but to change it. And you can't change the world by keeping your hands in your pockets. Man, it's about work. But what this is saying is that as we work, we need to go back to God and say, just cleanse me of that. Thank you. Do you understand that? So we stay clean. We live for God. We live for others so that they know God more than we do. What a great motive. We would probably all say, ask the question, how well do we know God? You can't really quantify it. I gave up answering that kind of question and I kind of rechanged the question, which is how much do I know God isn't the question. The question is how much does God use me? Because I found the more God uses me, the more I know him. It's not the other way around. Faith is not I know everything, therefore I do it. Faith is I do what he tells me, then I know it. So we'll stand up, shall we? Well done, youngsters. I wish I was your age. I feel like it on the inside. Hello, mate.
Hello.
How you doing? Let's just close our eyes, shall we? I believe in the next few moments, if you want to, you can come through a gate. I have no idea what the room looks like or the position looks like that you're in right now. You might be feeling all kinds of stuff. You might be feeling a bit challenged right now. You might be feeling a bit encouraged right now. You might be feeling like, you know, God's giving a bit of a slap. I don't know. All I know is that in front of all of us is a door, and through that door is more of God. That's all I know. That's all I know is that Jesus says, I am the gate and you can pass through. You can come in and out. But when you come in, there's more the other side than there is the side we're in. It might be that you just want to live with a little bit more faith in God's word. Well, there's a door there for you. It may be that you just want to pray and lean on God a little bit more than you do. Well, there's a gate there for you. It might be that in your kind of worship bit, that whatever that looks like, is you just want a greater sense of God in your song singing. Well, there's a gate there for you too. It might be that your body just hurts. Well, there's a gate of healing for you. It might just be that you feel fed up and you feel as if the whole world has left you behind and forgotten where they left you. Well, there's a gate of destiny for you. It might just be that you kind of feel like you're between a rock and a hard place. Well, in that rock is a gateway and his name is Jesus. And the other side of that gateway might be fresh hope for you. So just close your eyes. It all goes dark. That's normal. I just want to open up the possibilities. I have no idea what your relationship with God is like now. I know what his relationship towards you wants to be. He wants to love you. He wants to fill you with his life. He wants to give you a new hope and a new future and a destiny. He wants to use you intimately. He wants to use you expressively. He wants to demonstrate everything he is through everything that you were. I know that is God. You may never, ever have given your life to Jesus. Said, Jesus, I can't just do this on my own. I don't want to do it on my own anymore. I'm going to give my entire life to you. Everything that it was, I'm going to lay it at the cross. Say, Jesus, I give up. Just give up trying because I can't do it. Help me. There's two really short verses of scripture in the Bible. God loves both of them. One is, Lord, help me or save me. The shorter one is, rejoice always. I think the two are connected. When we say, Lord, help me, he will, and it changes our sorrow to singing. It changes our hopelessness to hope. Father, I want to thank you right now for every heart, every life, whatever our age, that right in front of us right now is a gate of opportunity. Help us in these next few minutes to pass through that. Because in the next moment or two, I've just got everybody can do this at the same time. We just need to ask for God's help. This might sound like, where's this going? I really have no idea. All I know is that when you ask God for anything, he will give you something. When you seek God for something, he'll give you something. When you knock on the door of God, he will open it. I know that. But this is the challenge. One of the biggest areas, one of the biggest tactics that the world uses and brings it into the life of church is that silence is an answer. At this moment, silence is not an answer. Silence at this moment is usually because we've got a discussion going on between our ears and we're not quite sure what to do. God is kind of calling our bluff a little bit. We've got to say something, mutter something. Confess in the Greek means we shape the word in our mouth. It's more than a thought. It's a spoken or a dropped word. Let's put it that way. Doesn't have to be loud, but we just need to talk to God right now, wherever we are, whatever our age, whether we've been here before, whether we've been here hundreds of times, is there's an opportunity right now. And God says, come on, just let me know. Just ask me. Ask me and see what I'll do. Now, if you're a Christian, if you're giving your life to Jesus, then you can be confident of this. He already knows what you need. He just wants to hear you ask for it. So let's just ask all at the same time. Please don't let the sense of, what are they going to think? I don't want the responsibility that you never went through your gate because of the person next to you. Something for all of us here today. Freedom, healing, miracle, a sense of what's happening next. Maybe God wants to just talk to us about our identity. I have no idea. All I know is we just need to begin to ask. So just begin to do that. Just use your own words, your own language. That can be in Arabic or Scottish or French or Dutch or German or Essex or Worthing. I really don't mind. But let's just all talk to God right now. He's here at the gate saying, come on, come up here. What can I do? That's it. Just begin to talk to him right now. Use your own words. Even Ecuadorian, you can even use that. Spanish is fine. Let's just all talk to God at the same time. He is smart enough to hear everybody at the same time. We have an issue with it. God has no issue with it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Just going to drop in a little bit of help for a couple of you. There's somebody who came this morning. You really feel as if you've let God down. God is saying, well, you have, but I'm going to pick you up right now. It's all right. I'm going to shake you down. I'm going to rub you down. I'm going to help you. You can't let me down because when you go down, I'm underneath with loving hands to stop you hitting the ground. Don't live thinking you've let God down. You haven't. He wants to lift you up. There's two of you in the room. You're thinking that right now. Just say, God, I thank you, Lord, that you're there. Okay, I've blown it. I've missed it. I've done whatever it is that I've done. I just come back to you and say, Lord, I'm really sorry. Thank you for a new start this morning. There's a couple of you, three of you that are here. It's like you only just arrived this morning. Don't just mean in terms of timing, but in terms of expectation. It's like, I don't even know if I want to go. Well, you're here. And you're here right where God is speaking to you right now. And God is saying, well done, good and faithful servant. You're here for such a time as this. You're here. This is a gate of opportunity for you. I think you're brilliant. I've assigned you for a breakthrough. I'm going to keep you all the days of your life. And I'm going to present you one day before my Father. And I'm going to say about you, well done, good and faithful servant. That's you. An hour ago, you were thinking, I'll stuff it, I'll stay at home. God is saying, I'm going to make you more than you could ever dream. One person here, you just had a physical thing in your body that was saying, stay in bed, stay in bed. But you didn't. You broke that spirit of duvet. Hallelujah. Lord is saying, that is the spirit of lift. It's my presence and my power. There is no law in the natural realm that can squash the spirit of lift. The Holy Spirit is the spirit of lift. He lifts your head. He lifts your heart. He helps you lift your voice. He helps you lift your song. He helps you lift your hands. He helps you lift your body. He helps you lift above the normal. It's the spirit of lift. Gravity is not greater than the spirit of lift. Neither is yesterday. Neither is defeat. Neither is disappointment. Neither is despair. Neither is disease. Spirit of lift is greater than all those things. And you have, if you know Christ and you've received the Holy Spirit, you have the spirit of lift. Oh, yeah. Hallelujah. There's a gate here saying, come on, lift your hands, lift your heart, lift your voice to me. It's all right. I'm for you, I'm not against you. If you want to lift your hands up, you can do that. This is church. It's not a religious institution. If you want to lift your voice, you can. Pretend you're watching footy. Or maybe not. Pretend you're watching a sport. You can lift your voice. Come on, we're talking to God in the next few moments. I'm not going to extend this. Come on, let's just get past it. Come on. Oh, there's a gateway of freedom for some of you. It's like, well, I've never done that before. Well, come on, enjoy yourself today. Raise your voice a little bit with an expressive tongue. Yeah, I thank you, Jesus. You're great today. I thank you. I praise you. Because you are my gate of opportunity. You are my gate of breakthrough. Some of you are going to have a breakthrough in the next minute. Just lift your heart, lift your voice, lift your hands, lift your head. See what God will do. Oh, yes, hallelujah. I thank you. I praise you. I praise you. I praise you. Oh, I praise you, Jesus. I praise you so much, Jesus. Oh, for everything you are and everything that you do, I exalt your name. Hallelujah. Oh, I thank you. I thank you. I thank you. I thank you. I thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, praise you, praise you, praise you. We had a testimony, didn't we, about someone, and I know this was, kind of just in the presence of God, they just felt the presence of God on their life. And they grabbed hold of that and said, my back's been healed. Jesus doesn't just want to dwell, he wants to do something. Doesn't just want to come into dwelling, he wants to change it. He's dealing with a liver right now. I have no idea what that means. I have no idea medically what it means. I can just see a liver that's kind of not quite the right colour. And God is putting his finger on it and saying, now look at it. Now look at it. The finger of God can do an incredible amount of things. I want to thank you for that miracle right now in the liver. If I know that somebody in here, just come and tell me at the end and we'll celebrate it together. There's a finger on a liver and it's just changed from kind of the wrong colour into the right kind of colour. It looks healthy now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that you are the healer of livers. Ah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Woo, hallelujah. How many of you right now just know that God is doing something fresh and new in your life? Just put your hands up, just put a finger up, just cough or snort or do something. That's it. There is loads of stuff going on. Pretty much everybody has got someone near and next to them where something's going on. The amazing thing about it is this. Being in the body, oh, hello. Being in the body is that if one part of the body is getting touched and blessed, we're all getting touched and blessed. Isn't that amazing? Let's just everybody lift up our hands right now, just because we... Father, I want to thank you so much that you've made us a gate for a dwelling, for the fat portion of God to come and dwell, but also for dominion, that you give us authority over our lives and over the lives of our loved ones, over our streets, over our workplaces. You give us authority and dominion over our colleges, our schools. You give us dominion over our marriages, over our parenting. You give us dominion over the places of business, over the places of market. You give us dominion because of the dwelling of God. I thank you that you give us dominion over our future. Ah, hallelujah. The future's bright. It's not orange. It's Christ. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I thank you that today you just want to remind everybody that they carry kingdom authority. What they permit is permitted. What they prevent is prevented. Because we have a gate inside our lives called Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. I thank you for the lives that have been touched, for the people that have been healed. I thank you for your healing power at work right now over lives. Even though we haven't asked, you're still answering. Because that's the kind of God you are. I thank you that even though we didn't ask, you're still restoring, because that's the nature of God. I thank you that even though we didn't ask, you're still redeeming, because that's the character of God. Hallelujah. Come on, let's just give the Lord some praise and celebrate him. Hallelujah. Come on, let's raise a shout of victory and breakthrough and praise today.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.